Moving on to the scripture passage this morning. Getting a little safer there, hopefully. I will be reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. In the Pew Bibles, for the ESV, that's page 965, and for the NIV, that's on page 1506. All right. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Good morning. It's good to be with everybody this morning. So you have these ideas in your mind, and then somebody says it out loud, like, the women are no longer going to the women's room. You are now going to the men's room. And the men, like, I feel like you've been bamboozled. And, yeah, so hearing it out loud sounded way different than it did in my mind. So, I love our church. Scott and I were talking about this week. This week was just crazy busy. And last Sunday, I made a plea. I asked some guy, I said, hey, whoever can be here after second service, can you help us take these chairs out and move them because we're going to get the carpets clean? And you guys, just before I even knew what happened, people were moving chairs. We had to minister to a family after service. So by you doing everything in here and taking care of that, Pastor Jack and I were able to minister to a family. So you're ministering to us constantly. So thank you. And then Tuesday we have Maria's memorial service, and I asked, you know, if anybody could show up around 8:30 to put the chairs back in here. The chairs were back in here before 8:30. Like, it's amazing. Like, what you guys should do is, and then the response from Maria's memorial service was incredible. The hospitality team, I looked at Aaron Rodgers downstairs. He goes, this is what they do. This is just what they do. Like, 110 people they served last Tuesday for the luncheon, and it was like a well-oiled machine. Like, it was amazing, so thank you for all that. The cookies, the desserts are always great, too, so thank you for those. And then yesterday, I don't know if you know this, but two kids got hitched, and that was a good time. That was a lot of fun, and the same thing kept said over and over again, and I'm going to say it, too, like, here we go. I had the privilege of 10 years ago hanging out with Jonah, and he's a knucklehead. He's a 13-year-old knucklehead who just has puppy love for Kate. And he was like, like a little kid, bouncing off the walls. Every time he saw her, his eyes would light up. And it was so neat to see everything come full circle yesterday. And praise God, absolutely. And so they're starting their life together today. So It's incredible. So, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just thank you for the blessings that you give us every single day. We thank you for just a beautiful day this morning. The sunshine and the cool air, it's just so refreshing, and it's refreshing to be in the house of the Lord with my brothers, my sisters, my familia. So, Father, I thank you for that. Father, we lift up all those that are hurting right now, that are sick or going through anything whatsoever, Lord. We pray for them. We lift them up to you, Lord. We pray for Jonah and Kate this morning, and we pray for all of our marriages, Lord, but we lift them up to you as they start their lives together, Lord. And we're so thankful that you are the center of their life, that you are the center of their marriage, and we ask you to be with them and guide them and continue to strengthen their love for you, but then through you for them. Lord, be with us this morning as we look at some things and we look at your word. I thank you for all the hands and the feet that prepared this morning for our people to come in here and worship you, our Lord, our God, our holy, holy, holy Lord. And Jesus, we thank you for being our Savior, who, if it wasn't for you, Lord, we would not be here. We would have no reason to be here because of the empty tomb. So we praise you for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, as you may know, may not know, I am in seminary, and one of my assignments for seminary is to preach through the Statement of Faith, and there are 10 articles. So for the past year, I've been going through each article. Article 1 is God, our triune God, holy, 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 God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, always was, always will be, infinite, all three living together in harmony, co-equals together, and that is Article 1. Article 2 is the Bible, and the Bible is where we learn about God. Everything that we know about God, we've learned from the Bible, and everything that we need to know about salvation comes from the Bible, too. So we stand on the truth that is the Bible. Article 3 gets a little personal. It's the human condition. And we are sinners, sinners in need of a Savior, and that is Article 4. And our Savior is Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, walked the earth, tempted in the same ways that we are, but never sinned. And that leads us to the next article, and that is the work of Christ, the work of Christ on the cross, what he gave up for us, shedding his blood for us. For our salvation. Anybody who puts their faith in the Son of God, in Christ, repents of their sins, is saved. And when they're saved, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, which is the next article. The Holy Spirit illuminates us. The Holy Spirit, he guides us. He convicts the world of their sin, convicts us, guides us. When we read the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us understand the Word of God. And those who have the Holy Spirit are part of the church, and that's the next article, the church, the body of Christ, believers throughout all time, throughout all of the world. We are united together by the Holy Spirit. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the church. From there, it goes to what we're going to cover today, and that is Christian living. We batted out of order the last time, because we looked at the return of Christ the last time I was up here. That would be Article 9. Article 10 is the eternal destination and in the response of that. And I say this all the time, and I mean it. The Waterdam Statement of Faith is the gospel. So if you had to explain the gospel, the whole gospel, and we know that gospel means the good news, and the good news is that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and we have a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. But if I was to sit somebody down and say, let me explain to you the whole gospel, I would start at the beginning. I'd pull, what's the guy's name, the ham guy from the Genesis? What's his name? Anybody? Ken Ham. I'd pull Ken Ham, and I'd say, well, you got to start from the beginning. And you start from the beginning. You started in the beginning. And what happened in the beginning? The beginning, God created everything. So you walk through the gospel, through the statement of faith. So if you're ever struggling and you need to share the gospel with somebody, you know our statement of faith, you can walk somebody through that, through the statement of faith. Truly believe that. So today, we are going to walk through Article 8. And then, as a pastor, there's something that burdens me to no end right now. So we're going to combine the article of faith with this burden that I have. And Glenn Dietrich, you did a phenomenal job this morning, dude. That was awesome. So thank you. That was amazing. Like, I love how God does these things. So I have time because we have plenty of time this morning. So I'm going to tell you a story. We have a men's Bible study that meets every Friday morning at 6 a.m. Sometimes the sun's up, sometimes the sun isn't, but we still meet. And we go through the Word of God. And every now and then, one of the men in the group will say something that says, hey, can we do this, or can I share this psalm with you, or can I do this? Well, Glenn, it was 6 months ago or so, he played that song during the Bible study. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. That fits exactly with the Christian living. Like, the idea of living your life as Christ, through Christ, that's the whole idea of Christian living. So that was just beautiful. And God just blessed us this morning through Glenn. That was amazing. So as we look through this statement of faith, we're going to look at Christian living, and we're going to think about who we are as Christians, as brothers and sisters, and how, what is our response to God, to Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit as we walk through Christian living. Okay, so I'm going to read through this, and then we'll break it down. So, Christian living. We believe that God's justifying grace must not be separated from his sanctifying power and purpose. God commands us to love him supremely and others sacrificially, and to live out our faith with care for one another, compassion toward the poor, and justice for the oppressed. With God's word, the Spirit's power, and a fervent prayer in Christ's name, we are to combat the spiritual forces of evil. In obedience to Christ's commission, we are to make disciples among all people, always bearing witness to the gospel in word and deed. So that is the statement of faith, or excuse me, Article 8 of our statement of faith, Christian living. And when we look at this and we say, okay, I see these words, what do they mean? So we believe that God's justifying grace must not be separated from his sanctifying power and purpose. So when we think about the grace of God, it's that free gift. Grace is a gift. It's something that we don't deserve. We don't deserve that because we're sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody in this room, sinners. Sinners by nature. That's the human condition. We were born with this sin nature, thank you, Adam and Eve, that's been passed down from human being to human being, generation to generation. It's will be there till Christ returns. So we are sinners in need of saving, and that grace is a gift from God. And Pastor Jack talks about the acronym of grace, and that's God's riches at Christ's expense. And when we put our faith in Christ, we are then justified. So if we think of a courtroom and we plead our case in front of the judge, and we know that when we stand in front of God, that the person that really is pleading our case for us is Christ. It's Jesus. He did all the work for us. We are justified at that point, not guilty. We are seen not guilty. And at that time, when we put our faith in Christ, we repent from our sins, we flee from our sins, and we flee to the Savior, we're saved, we're justified, and that's the gift of grace. And that's not to be separated from his sanctifying power and purpose. So sanctification is a process. So we're justified, then we're sanctified, and then we're glorified. And so we're justified, not guilty. Then sanctification kicks in, and that's Christian living, okay? So sanctification is a process in which you, me, and the Holy Spirit are at work together. And every day of our lives, we're trying to mold ourselves to be more and more like Christ. We're trying to be like Christ. We read the Word. We help each other. We're in fellowship with each other. We pray. We repent when we need to repent. But that's a process that we go through. And if you think about Maria Derrico, okay, Maria Derrico was a wonderful, wonderful sister in Christ, okay? Perfect? No, none of us are. However, you could see her working. You could see God working through her, the heart that she had for people. Every day she was doing something. There were people in this sanctuary from like different walks of life. It was amazing the people that she touched. You had people here from Waterdam. You had people from other churches. You had people from her cancer recovery group. And they all said the same thing. And they were talking about these things that Maria would do. I didn't know about half of them. Like, she was just an amazing woman. So that was that's the sanctification process, where every day Maria was trying to be like Christ. That's what we strive for. We strive to be like Jesus. And that's the process of sanctification. That's our purpose in life. That is our purpose, is to glorify God. And we do that with the help of the Holy Spirit, with our eyes focused on Christ. God commands us to love him supremely and others sacrificially. So there is a book called Evangelical Convictions. There is no author with this book, okay? There are a group of guys that wrote this, and they're all E-Free guys. Then that's our denomination. We're the Evangelical Free Church of America. One of the guys who contributed to this is Greg Strand. And Greg has been here. He comes here every winter, where we host all of the E-Free churches in the Allegheny District. And Greg will be here. And sometimes he preaches, sometimes he doesn't. Dude is a plethora of knowledge. If you ask Greg Strand a question, he can't answer it with a yes or no. It's just not possible for him. So be prepared. Be prepared to get the answer that you're looking for, and he will answer it. If you send him an email, you're going to get a soliloquy. Like, it is a long, and he's very detailed. So if you ever want to learn more about the E-Free Church or our statement of faith, Scotty has one of these. I have one of these. Pastor Jack has one of these. Feel free to borrow it. I'm going to tap into this a couple times this morning, especially here when we talk about God commands us to love him supremely and others sacrificially. When Jesus was being questioned by the religious leaders, they said to him, you know, what's the most important of the commandments? What's the greatest of the commandments? And he said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your might, your strength, all your heart, all your mind. And he said, that's number one. Number two is love your neighbor as yourself. And that is exactly what is stated here. God commands us to love him supremely. Love him supremely. Hosea 6:6, God says, I don't want your sacrifice. I want your love. That's what I want. I don't care about sacrifice. I want your heart. And that's what we are to do. We are to love him supremely. So God first. We prayed for Kate and Jonah. We prayed for their marriage. And we prayed that God would be the center of their marriage. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be loving him supremely. And when we do that, we don't have a choice but to love others sacrificially. And to quote Evangelical Convictions, so we say we are to love others sacrificially, not conveniently, not just when it suits us, when it fits easily into our schedule, when it doesn't put us out, or when it doesn't cost us anything. We're to love others sacrificially, our neighbors, we're to love them. And we're to live out our faith with care for one another. There are a plethora of verses of how we are to be with one another. We are to be devoted to one another, honor one another above ourselves, live in harmony with one another, stop passing judgment on one another, accept one another just as Christ accepted you, instruct one another, greet one another with a holy kiss, serve one another humbly in love, be kind and compassionate to one another, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, bear with each other for forgiveness and forgive one another if any of you has grievances against someone, teach and admonish one another, encourage one another, build each other up, spur one another on towards good deeds, love one another deeply from the heart, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. So that's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to love God supremely, sacrificially to each other, and we live out our faith to care for one another. So we care. That was this whole past week, you guys have been caring for each other through prayer, through being here, in so many ways. We live this out. We're to have compassion toward the poor and justice for the oppressed. Okay, so what does that look like? We're to look out for those who are needy, powerless, and vulnerable, such as the widows and orphans, the elderly, the disabled, the unborn, the immigrant and the minority, or the mistreated. So a few weeks ago, Brian Day, Dr. Brian Day, gave a message that God never makes mistakes, and it was a message about having compassion on those with disabilities. That's part of living out our Christian faith. That is part of our Christian living. We're to take care of each other, but take care of those who can't take care of themselves. So when we look at, you know, we have a baby bottle campaign that's going on right now. We looked at how important life is, especially those who can't protect themselves, like those in the womb. We will go out of our way to do something about that. That is what we do. That is part of Christian living. And how do we do that? How do we know how to do that? Well, we seek God's word. We go to God's word. We know everything that we know about God is through the word. Everything that we need to know about salvation is through God's word. So we need God's word. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray in Christ's name. So we need the Trinity, right? We need our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we are to combat the spiritual forces of evil. I don't know if you noticed this, but it's getting a little crazy out there. Like, really crazy. Like, when Levi was talking about the bathroom thing, my mind went to a place where I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe he said that out loud. And this is being recorded forever. And then I'm like, it's just weird. So it's a weird, weird world that we live in right now. In the spirit, if you believe in an ultimate good, which we do, which is God, there is an ultimate evil, which is the devil. And we are to be combating him with God's word. So when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, he said to the devil, it is written, okay? When he spoke to any of the Pharisees, the scribes, or the lawyers of the day, he said, have you not heard? To the devil, he said, it is written. That's authority. That's him telling it is written. Like, it is done, and you are done. It is written. But when he's talking to the people, there's some coming alongside, if you will, or like just like an encouragement. Have you not heard? Don't you know that this is how we're supposed to act? Or don't you know this? But to the devil, it is written. It is done. Jesus is in charge. So we have the word. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have prayer. That's how we combat the spiritual forces of evil. And we do that in obedience of Christ. And we, in obedience to Christ, we make disciples. We go out to the world. We make disciples among the people. Why do we do it? Because he told us to do that. He said, go out, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are to come alongside people and make disciples. We are to invite people to church. We are to fellowship with them, come alongside them, share the gospel with them, the full gospel, the truth, the word, making disciples with them, always bearing witness to the gospel in word and in deed. And that's what Glenn was singing about today. So when we are bearing witness to the gospel in word, that's what we say to people. Those are the words that come out of our mouths to people. And indeed, those are the things that we do. There's this saying that you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. So you're at work, and you don't have time to read off. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God. And you don't have time to do that because you have a job to do. So what do? You act like Jesus at work. You be the hands and feet of Christ in words and deed. You watch the things that come out of your mouth, and you watch the things that you do. So you can be bearing witness, always bearing witness to the gospel in word and deed. And that's where we go to, this is where my burden is. And I've had this burden for a while. So if we look at the text that Levi read this morning, and Levi, thank you for doing that. If you'll turn to Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So when we look at this, I think it's always important to have background, context. Like, if I can ever teach you guys anything about reading the Word of God, is know that it all fits together. The old, the new, it all fits together. It is one book, and it's all about Jesus. The Bible is all about Jesus. It's the Word became flesh, and it's about Christ. And I know there's parts of the Bible that are difficult to read. I know that. Leviticus is a difficult book to read. You have all these laws, all these ceremonies, all these rituals, and you're like, I don't do that anymore, thank goodness. But what does that mean? Well, Jesus, because the Bible's all about Jesus, Jesus does a great job of explaining everything exactly how we are supposed to understand it. Of course, he did it in Aramaic, in not so much Yinzer. But if we read the Bible, we can figure it out. We can totally figure it out. So Leviticus, difficult book to read. But Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 explains Leviticus to a T. It will walk you through, because like I said, God said in Hosea, I want your heart, I want your love, I don't want your sacrifice. So he wants our hearts to be changed, and he wants us to live like brothers and sisters. He wants us to live like Christ. And when you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you're reading Leviticus. You really are. And it starts out with the Beatitudes, or in chapter 5, starts off with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn. It walks you through all the things, how to deal with anger, how to deal with retaliation, lust, the Lord's Prayer, judging others. It leads through all that, and it's basically what Leviticus, what the law was for. The law was a foreshadow of all these things. So I think it's super important. Like Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the blueprint for Christian living. They are. They're the blueprint. So when we look at this text, Matthew 7, 21, it says, this is Jesus talking. He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, this is not about works. This is not about doing things, but we know that faith without works is dead. So we need faith to produce good works. So this is not about just works. So there will be people, Jesus is saying, that are saying, "Lord, Lord, did I not? Did I not?" Jesus says, on that day, meaning judgment day, the last day, the day that the sheep are on the right, the goats are on the left, and the goats go into eternal punishment, everlasting eternal punishment on that day, judgment day. So Jesus says, on that day, many will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name?" So they're saying, "Hey, we did things in your name. We went to these places. I did all the things. I checked off all the boxes, Jesus. I checked them all off. I went to church when I was supposed to. I gave money when I was supposed to. I did all those things." And what Jesus is saying, Hosea 6:6, "I don't want your sacrifice. I want your heart. I want your love. I want your love, because when your heart is changed, and you start loving people, you love me, and you show people in word and deed who I am. We did these things, though. Lord, Lord, we did these things." And then Jesus will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Now, that word declare is, I can't say it, I can't remember, I didn't write it down, it's Greek, it's all Greek to me anyways, but that word declare is a professed covenant. It's not like 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. That's not what this is. This is a declaration. This is God saying, just as I spoke the world into existence, when I declare that I never knew you, I never knew you. He wasn't messing around. Like, this was Jesus saying, "I declare, I promise you, this is a covenant, I declare I never knew you." I'm going to say it again. Jesus saying, "I promise you, I never knew you." That's what that declare means. And when we look at how we live our lives, now we can drive around in our car and have our "What Would Jesus Do" bumper sticker, and have our Jesus fish on the back, and have the bumper sticker that says, "Hey, you're so close, follow me to church." We could have all those things on our car, but if we don't have Christ in our heart, if we're driving down 19 doing 65, weaving in and out of traffic, using our hand gestures, yelling at people, we are not bearing the gospel in word and deed. "I never knew you. I never knew you. I declare that." So we need to take this very seriously. And when we read this, this "Lord, Lord" is so easy to read. Because you read it, you say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do that?" I want to put a picture in your head. This isn't somebody just saying, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this?" These are people being cast into hell, begging, "Lord, Lord, did we not do these things in your name? What did I not do?" What you didn't do is your heart was not in the right spot. That's what this is. This isn't, "Hey, Lord, I thought I did these things." These are people being cast into hell. It's pleading, "Lord, Lord, did we not do these things in your name?" It's frantic. It's a frantic response. It's not something that somebody just thinks about. "Wait, I thought I did this." It is a frantic response. That's while the sheep are going to the right to glorification, the goats are going to the left for eternal damnation. And the Bible does not speak of second chances. It doesn't speak of second chances. So my question is this. Are we always bearing witness to the gospel in word and deed? That's where we should be. So when we're driving down 19, doing 65, slow it down and get into the other lane. When I'm ready to post that thing on Facebook, I need to take a breath, take a step, and put the phone down. Because all of the things are being looked at by God. Not just a couple things, not just the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Jesus breaks everything down so easily. He makes it easy for us. He takes 10 and makes them 2. So the first 4 are all about God. First 4 commandments, excuse me, are all about God. The next 6 are all about your fellow man. Love God supremely. When you love God supremely, you don't have a choice but to love man. Now, here's the good news. The good news is this. If you come to church and then you check off boxes, if you think that Christ isn't strong enough to save you, if you think that you've done things, you're too far gone for salvation, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, stretched his arms out on a cross to take in all the sin of the world. And he can take your sin in too. He will forgive you. He will forgive you of any sin that you had. He forgives me of any sin that I commit because I drive on 19 too. He forgives you. He will always forgive you because he loves you. Our God has so many characteristics about him, and the one thing is he's loving and he's holy. So when you think of any characteristic of God, you put holy in front of it, and he's a holy and loving God. And only a holy and loving God would love sinners like us. There's no way around it. And that's the good news. Like, he loves you like you've never been loved before. So my prayer among many today, this bothers me. These verses bother me because I know that there's 3 types of people in church. There are those who are signed, sealed, and delivered by Christ. They are. There's people who aren't. They're not. Then they know they're not, and they come to church, whether they're seeking, whether they're brought for by a spouse or whatever reason. But then there's people who are, the Bible doesn't lie. 7 through 21 through 23, there are people in here who think that they're checking off a box, that they're okay. My prayer is that if you have any doubt whatsoever, give it over to Christ. Just give it over to him. Because the last thing that you want is to be saying, Lord, Lord, I remember coming into church every Sunday. I remember I put that bumper sticker on my car. It's your heart. God does not care until you are saved about the things that you do. He cares about your heart. That's it. That's all he cares about. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I don't know if you could tell. There is so much freedom in knowing that somebody took the penalty for what I deserve. Because I can't do enough work. I could never do enough work. So my prayer, I beg you, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, if you haven't repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, I beg you to. And there are You don't have to come to me. I can't help you other than sit with you and pray with you. That is something that you have to do on your own, and I will do that with you, but I don't hold any power to help you. There are many men and women in this church who would love to sit with you and be with you. They don't hold any special power either other than the love that they have for you, and they will do that. Any one of us would do that, but I beg you to do that, please. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, I thank you for the mercy that you have on us. I thank you for the gift of grace, the free gift of salvation that was paid for by your Son, who walked a walk that we would never do, who gave up everything, who left heaven and walked the earth and told the devil, "It is written." And when he was hung on the cross, he said, "It is done." And there's authority in your Son. And we praise you for that. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that binds us together, Lord. We thank you for your love and mercy. And Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice. Holy Spirit, we thank you for living inside us and guiding us and being our light, so that we can be the light of the world, that we can live in word and deed, always, always, always living out the gospel. We thank you for that. Thank you for your strength and power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is like the Irish version of the Van Traps. So, like the McTraps. McTraps, it's like a something you could order at McDonald's or something.
Like the McTrap, please.
All right. Hear the words of the benediction. It's taken from Hebrews 13, verse 23-21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus, equip you in every good thing to do his will by doing in us what is pleasing to his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless.